The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today we're going to be doing one in a series of five programs that's on the changing impact of real estate in strategic decisions. And I know it sounds really stuffy, but it's not. The guests are incredible. Today's guest is Peter Cocosiello of Advance Group. I'll interview him in a few minutes. I'm picking people that I feel really get it, and it's across a range of perspectives. For example, Mike Lackland's going to be, I think, our fifth interview in the series. And this is a guy who has a self-storage business that's got 25 locations, so they really understand how do you find the right places and what do you do with them to turn them into money quickly. So he knows how to do the financing and all the finding and the negotiations. Andrew Zizis is taking the approach of how do you renegotiate commercial leases in this kind of economy. Diane Turton has a large real estate enterprise and won a lot of entrepreneurial awards, and so she's been on this journey and knows how it's changed over the years. And Gil Medina is... he's got so many different roles, and one of the reasons that I wanted to talk with him as the managing director of Cushman Wakefield is that he's also been a commissioner of economic development. And then today we're going to be talking to a gentleman that has a 30-year history with commercial real estate, and this is a guy who has a, you know how the bio says premier developer? Well, this one really is. Now, before we get into that, I just had a realization, and you'd swear I would have been focusing on this for a long time. I looked at the date, I looked at Peter Cocosiello's resume and bio, and it said, he incorporated his Advance Realty in 1979, and I went, you know how it triggers a memory, and I went, gosh, you know what, tomorrow is the 30th anniversary of the incorporation of my first business. Wouldn't you think I'd be focusing on that and be celebrating it and getting on and on? But I wasn't, it just, there is a focus on the future, there is a what's the next wave, and I almost missed the anniversary. Isn't that interesting? Probably because, I started consulting in 1971, so the incorporation of it officially and making it into an enterprise and such just felt like a second wave. Now, right there, stop right there, okay? Those of you who've listened to me for a while, I've gotten a couple dozen awards as an entrepreneur myself on a national basis and six businesses, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I think the people that I'm attracted to for the show, the ones that are talking mano-a-mano, peer-to-peer, are the ones that are focused on, what's that next wave that they're creating. And they're not hung up, and they're not waving the flag about, oh, this cool thing I did 30, 40 years ago. They just don't talk like that. And that's lesson number one. I'd like us to think about real estate. Let's just focus on this for a minute. Remember, this audience, all of us, we're in that mid-market, the 20 to 200 million with a billion in our hearts. All right. It's the next wave, and this particular economic downturn has some extra twist to it. It definitely does, and I want to talk to Peter about his view of this. It's not just an economic cycle. It's not just we were due for a blip. This one's got some twists in it related to some greed got out of hand, and the model didn't work, and it was going to crumble. It was going to fall apart, and the regulatory environment wasn't doing its job and all that stuff. So it's got some exaggerated elements to it. But the reality is it's the next wave. And true wealth is made during recessions when people are centered enough about creating the next future, creating what they want to have happen. So that's why I'm seeking visionary people who are into this business of creating. And I got to thinking about, some of the things that I and my clients are doing that I want to share with you before we listen to Peter, because you're not all developers that are listening. Some of you are retailers, some of you are manufacturers, some of you are in service businesses. So why would you want to hear what a developer is saying? Well, let's frame this for a minute. What future are you trying to create so that when you're in the strategic planning retreat and the topic on the list comes up about physical assets, it's in context. What I found happened in about 5 years ago is that a number of my clients were starting to make some mistakes, it seemed to me, and I was having to bring in some experts. They were starting to lead with physical assets, getting, you know, thinking, okay, now real estate is such a high thing. Let's create another holding company. Let's get into real estate. Let's become absentee landlords. Let's start leveraging physical assets. Let's make sure we make money there. And some of them got distracted around what the core identity of their business was and, you know, lost a sense of some of their identity. Okay, so then when the housing market and the cost of things started to change, those people lost their center faster than the ones that stayed centered about who they were in the first place. You follow what I'm saying? Now, the same thing is the case in reverse. If we overreact to the real estate market right now and start losing a sense of who we are, we're going to make the same kind of mistakes, the same, you know, loss of identity, the same loss of differentiation. When you have a chance now, when your competitors are whining about, you know, that they can't close a deal and no one has money and there isn't any financing, whine, while your competitors are doing that, you have a tremendous opportunity to truly differentiate and make sure that the sweet spot, that, you know, what you clearly do for your best clients is being done the best it can. And then if in the context of you're doing the best you can for your clients, for you to really lift, show off that, you know, what you've done for your clients. Show off that, you know, there's progress being made because, frankly, the marketplace right now is looking for some good news. You have a better chance of getting some positive publicity now than you did 3 years ago when it was just, okay, another business is growing. Now it can stand right out and you can get some momentum from having done something well. And in the context of doing it well and being on a journey together with your customers, what is the best way for real estate to serve it? So, for example, if your customers are needing to go more towards the urban areas, surprise, surprise, they need to. Are they needing to look at reduced use of their cars, you know, so that they're not so worried about can their employees get in and out from work? The environmental issues, the petroleum issues, the energy issues, the money issues, they're not going to go away. We might talk ourselves into it temporarily, but a lot of those issues are not going to go away. Workforce issues, and is your workforce developing fast enough? Are they going to know what you need? Your customers are asking those questions for a long time, and your service needs to be focused on how you're going to help them do that. I don't care if you're in manufacturing or if you're a service or if you're a retailer. That drive towards how do we be more effective? How do we have a model that's sustainable? How do we work together? And people remembering that you're the partner that made that happen. Okay, now add, what are the real estate implications for you doing that? And surprise, surprise, it may mean that some of your commercial properties are going to need to be in more urban areas, are going to need to have a different mix than they have. You're not necessarily going to be out in this isolated McMansion kind of palace in the middle of nowhere, because even with technology and remote, you know, video conferencing, it might not be the smart thing to do for your customers or you. See the linkage? So are you bringing in for your advisors? Are you listening to where commercial developers with some vision are going? Are you thinking about what they're saying? Because it isn't just about what a developer wants to do. It's about where you as a business person and your customers need to go. So if you can't see it, if in your strategic planning you haven't been doing that, it's one of the purposes for these radio shows, as I'm saying, okay, let's put the real estate piece of this into the mix so that when you're looking at your strategic planning, you've got some insight from people who are right on the cutting edge of doing this. So, Peter, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, I'm delighted. Peter Kokoziel, I've been wanting to get you on the radio for about, a year? Because you're such a busy guy. At least a year. Well, this is the place to put you because people really need your insight. Let me give a little bit of your pedigree for people. They've heard a little bit about one of the reasons I wanted you on the air is that you've got that 5 million square foot portfolio in New Jersey and Washington. You've been at this a long time. Is it primarily commercial?
It's commercial, but we've been moving into the direction of, as you had mentioned in your talk here, about urbanized areas.
Okay, so now how long have you been doing that?
We've been focusing on the urbanized areas here probably for the last 5 or 6 years.
Because you're kind of like me, you know. You didn't have the by the way, it's your anniversary, but you've been at this since 1969.
By the way, congratulations to you as well.
Isn't that something? I know. Now, so when you think about it, there are these waves. What did you see that told you to start going toward the urban piece? Let's start with that. What told you that? What did you notice, and when?
Well, there's a couple of factors that really had an impact on me. And there's a lot of things were going on when people talk about globalization of an economy. I started to think about this more and more, and one thing is that everyone needs to get out and see what others are doing in the world to truly understand the magnification of this and how it might impact your business and what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So in my situation, I had made a decision that I was going to spend some time traveling globally, and I wanted to go into some of these, you know, quote-unquote hotbed areas that were manufacturing was cheap and they're creating a lot of jobs and the economies were growing at double-digit numbers. So, you know, just picking on areas like China or India or those places, you recognize that they have a huge ability to produce. Now, there are a lot of issues with that.
Right.
But respectfully, you know, the Americans were always ones that wanted to consume more and more. But in my travels, I came to one realization, and the realization was that the United States had the highest standard of living in the world. And when you take a look at that and you start to sit down for a minute and you realize that, you know, with this, if other places in the world are producing at a much lower cost than the United States, only one thing can happen is that our standard of living has to come down
yeah.
in order for us to compete globally.
And there's a lot of noise around having everybody's standard of living lift, and it's like, now come on, do the math.
You have to do the math. You have
yeah.
to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other component of that is that if you start to look clearly, is that we were in a position here that we were taking on more and more debt or more and more leverage
yeah.
in order to be able to consume more and more. So you start looking at those, you know, very thoroughly, and you say, okay, for companies to really, you know, get out and compete, they're going to have to take a look at where they're located. So the first step of this, I think, is to take a look at, you know, is place a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will become very critical to your business model as you go forward.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started to factor, you know, those ingredients in, and I also recognized that over the years we had done a substantial amount of build-to-suit activity, in other words, building a,
right.
a corporate headquarters for a company, that type of thing, is that you realize that, you know, leverage had to go down in this country and debt has to go down. So when you start taking a look at that, and then you recognize the fact that everybody, you know, let's say 10 years ago, you know, they're so in love with the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I think auto manufacturers made some mistakes because everybody moved into lifestyle vehicles. So this love for cars, you know, got reduced a little bit by the younger people. So when you look at a car, you have a situation where, you know, when I analyze it, almost any car you drive costs at least $800 a month. By the time you look at the amortization of the car, you look at the insurance, the maintenance and gasoline and that type of thing. So when you look at a car and you look at the suburbs, you have people that have two and three cars. So they're in a situation here where, you know, they have approximately $2,500 a month. And remember that that is before taxes. So in order to pay out $2,500, you know, you're going to have to make, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $3,000, $3,500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So just multiply that out times 12, and you realize that the automobile has substantial impact on our dollars or our disposable income as we go forward.
Now pause right there. I need to do a break, but boy, that, you know, it's an eye opener. You think about the first $30,000 when you do start doing the math, it's because you drove. This is the Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back. I want you to listen to Peter.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONA. ALDONNA, thegrowthstrategist.com, achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjoy Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjoy Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and this is one of the parts of a five-part series on the changing impact of real estate and strategic planning decisions for mid-sized companies. I don't know. Don't run away. Now we're in the middle of a conversation with Peter Cocosiello, and I've asked Peter to be on here because, as the CEO of Advanced Realty Group, this is a guy I see is very visionary. He's been ahead of the wave, and he figures things out, and he's a deep thinker. This is not just, okay, let's do the next Class A property. And it's not surprising that before the break, Peter was talking about his international travels and, you know, how it kind of told him, all right, we really better be looking for more urbanization of what we're doing. And you started to tell us about the cost of the car. Now, keep going.
Well, I had mentioned that the car is very, very expensive. And, you know, what you have is you have people living in suburbs that are, in essence, going to work to drive a car.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's sustainable in a globalized economy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the other key ingredient is that when you talk to the youth of our country wants to live in active communities,
mm-hmm.
meaning that they want to be in a place, they don't mind working a lot of hours, but when they're done, they're going to text their friends and they're going to say, look, you know, we're going to meet at this restaurant, we're going to meet at that bar, and they all get together, and that's the way they communicate, and as a result, you know, they want that social interaction.
Yeah.
They want the ability to be in a position if they want to see, you know, a Broadway show or they wanted to see a sports venue, that all they really need to do is go down, maybe walk a block, jump on rail, and they can go to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other key ingredient to this as we looked at urbanization. Because a lot of these older communities have a lot of rail bed that really is underutilized.
You're not kidding.
So when you look at this whole world of going green, you look at this world of mixed use, you look at the ability here of the youth and some of our brain trust of this country, they want to be able to locate there. So as a result, from a business perspective, I think that businesses are going to need to locate near rail because it's a lot cheaper to operate, and you're in a position here to have a much larger workforce. And today, if you look at things, you know, the key to any organization is the ability to attract the best and brightest people.
And yet you're still seeing these suburban areas being developed and the McMansion thing building. Where do you see that headed?
You know, I think that that's a situation of the past. I think that you're not going to see this McMansion kind of, you know, developments anymore. I know the residential developers that are developing detached homes that I know, you know, they're going to a much smaller product.
Mm-hmm.
You're finding people not being able to afford housekeeping or that
yeah.
kind of thing. So they want a house that, look, I can come home no matter what. I can manage it. I can clean it. If I need to, I can cut the grass and everything. I'm in control of my destiny, not having others around.
And yet you go to a place like Ashburn, Virginia, and it used to be farms, and the greatest property or the crop is now these four-story townhouses. Do you think that's not going to be the case?
I don't think you're going to see it in a suburban, not unless it's near rail. Then you're going to see a lot of density.
Okay.
Because if you go to any of the major cities, even, you know, I'll pick on Washington, D.C., I mean, the traffic there is a nightmare.
Oh, it's awful.
And so I know when I talk to my kids, they say to me, you know, Dad, why do I want to drive?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, you know, the kids like to go out and they have a couple of beers. And what I really noticed is that, you know, they really don't drive if they have a couple of drinks. So they don't want anything to do with a car.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as a result of that, I think...
Well, it may help some of the energy issues.
Helps with the energy. I mean, there's so many things that are right
mm-hmm.
about developing in urbanized areas.
So now what's the difference in, like, commercial space when you're doing it near rail, near urban, et cetera? Give me some of the subtleties of... Picture somebody listening to this, and they have a software development company. What's their new place that you would be designing for them like?
Well, I think one of the things, it depends upon the maturity of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And I've recently, you know, had a friend, I'll give you an example, that they occupy space in a suburban building that we own. And they said, Peter, you know, I don't even want to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway, is that we just hired 18 people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're developing this new strategy on how we're going to, you know, be on the internet and how we distribute content.
Remote.
And I went to hire people,
mm-hmm.
and all the people I was hiring, they don't have any cars.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't drive here. So what I did
mm-hmm.
is I went to a location in Hoboken.
Mm-hmm.
I went into some very, very old office space. I realized all the people I was hiring, they all had a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
They all had a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And they were near rail.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, we just, you know, created a computer network system. They wanted a beautiful coffee bar, and we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And we had folding tables that were there, and they come and go as they please,
mm-hmm.
and they're producing all this work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And once I get this established, you know, then I'll look at other space. But he said, I cannot locate this business in any other area but the urbanized side because they don't have cars,
mm-hmm.
and they need to take the train.
I'm seeing more and more of it because, you know, I specialize in the rapidly growing mid-sized companies, and they're so driven by these bright, ambitious, wanting to work somewhat at home at 2 o'clock in the morning and leave me alone. I'll come in tomorrow with my fabulous report, and a lot more virtual in their mentality anyway. But they like community.
They like community.
They want to be with each other.
They want to go outside. They want to go to lunch. They want to have, you know, meet people, and they want this interaction.
Yeah.
But they don't have cars.
Now, this is going to sound like it's not related, but I think it is. I've noticed in your career, you're very active in things like being on boards, and you've won humanitarian awards, and you're an advocate. Is that helping you see these things, or is that just a way to convey it?
Well, I've always felt that, you know, interaction with right people is very important to the development of your career. So there are various associations that offer, you know, different types of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and I have been involved with the State Chamber of Commerce, and that gives you a broad perspective, you know, the state of New Jersey, you know, things that are happening and things that may impact your business, but more importantly, the interaction with other CEOs to recognize that what's going to happen to a utility company if this happens?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to a bank if this happens?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the ability of understanding their viewpoints that gives you a much broader perspective, and I think helps you in everyday decisions that in your own business.
Oh, yeah. I don't think some of the CEOs even realize how much they're revealing when, you know, about their strategy. They're not saying anything proprietary. But when they react to a regulation or they have to figure out how to lobby the governor on the budget or how much they are or they aren't concerned about transportation, it's very telling. And it's helped me as a strategic planner for mid-sized companies, hearing where the really large companies, you know, what they're talking about and where they're headed. You know, so that you're in my advocacy kind of thing about making sure the government is, I don't know, at least not fighting business growth.
Well, we all feel that way sometimes.
But I wonder if, you know, thinking about the people who are listening, right, some of it is that the guests that I have are role models. I find some folks that are in the mid-sized companies are so buried in the doing and the worry about do they have the right management team. Is this person going to be able to be promoted from controller to CFO, and should I have an advisory team? Am I ready for a board? Should I bring in venture capital? That's what these guys that are listening to you are like on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
How have you avoided some of that? Because you've kept your company growing, and you've had this external view. How do you do that?
Well, I think one of the things that I try to do is I try to find some soft moments, I mean quiet, that I can spend alone. I mean, I just absolutely love spending time by myself. So
I can't even picture that. I've seen you so integrated into so many things. That's amazing.
Well, I read once, and when this started, I read several years ago where Bill Gates takes 2 weeks a year.
Yes.
Or at least he used to.
He still does.
And he has this retreat, and no one knows where it's at. I'm sure some do. And it's on this big lake, and it's a log cabin kind of house, and it's all wired and connected. But during that period, he doesn't talk to anyone.
Yeah.
And what he does is he absolutely focuses on information, research, his notes, and, and he develops a strategy. And, you know, at moments in time, he was like a one-man strategist for Microsoft.
Yeah.
Well, not all of us can be Bill Gates, but, you know, there's some good habits to learn from that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've had a tendency to do is sometimes I'll take a day or two, and I'll just be all by myself and just go through so many things, because the keys to all this are really, you know, in today's world, is like balancing the present and the future.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a difficult task. I mean, everybody wants to grow their business. Everybody wants to be this, that, and the other. But you need to recognize, you know, what your capacities are, you know, internally, and how do you balance that? Or you may find that your business model really doesn't work, and how do I really change the business model in order to, I can frame it so that if I'm in this type of an economy, how am I going to position myself to take advantage of all the upside?
And you've remained liquid, you know, when you think about your competitors, and they're competing for dollars so over-leveraged, and they're scared to death about what the banks aren't going to help them with. I know a lot of developers and construction companies that are just, they can't sleep right now. How did you do that? I know that sounds funny, but how did you do that?
Well, I think, and the last words, again, balancing the present and the future, you know, there were times that I could have done so much more. I could have done so many more acquisitions.
Yeah.
I could leverage myself much, much further. But I really chose that I wanted to be in balance, because ultimately I wanted to have sustainable profitability.
Mm-hmm.
Because in order to be in business for a lot of years, you have to be able to have that profitability, because you need to put yourself into a position where if you hire the best and brightest talent, I need to compensate them properly. I need to create the proper incentives. I need to be able to lead the proper vision. And the most important thing along the way sometimes is truly deciding what business you're in.
Yeah. And you're like a role model for the phrase that I use all the time. You know, accelerated growth with sustained profitability, and the secret is reverse the phrase. If you don't know what drives your profitability, you know, and you step on the gas too soon, you get in trouble. I'm going to take a break, and we come back. I want to get more specific about some of the strategic decisions you're seeing other people have to make, and how does real estate, you know, fit into it. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back with Peter Cocosiella of Advance Realty Group.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in The Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjo Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjo Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show, The Growth Strategist, and I'm Aldana Ambler, and today we're doing one of a five-part series on the changing impact of real estate on your strategic decisions. And today's guest is Peter Cocosiello of the Advanced Realty Group. And Peter, you know, what I'm imaging some of the people who are listening and the clients that I'm dealing with, and I've seen very, very bright people that are just nervous more than they've ever been because they don't see the cash. They're feeling like tempted to almost sell their souls to get some money to keep going. I want you to think out loud, because you're out there, you know, you're a very external-oriented person. You're looking at the marketplace. Do people come to you, or do you have to identify them that they're really in a strategic decision-making mode and they're confused about real estate? Who approaches whom these days?
Well, I think in my particular case, I've always tried to be proactive. And being proactive is to, you know, look at companies. And I think a lot of our success has to do with, and I use these words, you know, defining the meaningful outside. And the meaningful outside are all these people that are looking for, you know, space, you know, to occupy, and they want to, you know, try to make their business as successful as possible. So part of our approach always was is that in any situation, you have to have a value-added proposition. Mm-hmm. That you cannot be in a situation where, hey, you're going to lease my building, I'm going to make all this money, and you're going to be happy, you know, thereafter. We always took the approach that we wanted to try to analyze, you know, our client's business model. And when you analyze someone's business model is that, look, if I operate out of this location or I move 30 miles away and I operate out of that location, what location might be more profitable to me? In certain situations, you'll find that, you know, it has to do with employees. It has to do with adjacencies of relationships within the organization. How do I create the best communications? It has to do with, you know, how they look at and start to restructure as they look at how to occupy space. By that, I mean that, you know, do I have decentralized accounting in four different locations, or can I centralize that? If I centralize it, you know, who should these people be talking to? You know, if I'm a business that, like we did something recently for a software company, you know, their whole thing was that their value-added proposition was training. So what they wanted to be able to have are these very nice training rooms that were almost like classrooms, mm-hmm. so they could bring their clients in. When they had the clients in, they wanted to be able to socialize with them. So they created some areas here that had, you know, seating and food and what have you, and coffee. But the point being is that everyone has somewhat of a different model. And in order to really understand that model, you need to understand the outside influences of it. Location means a lot. You know, what's the distance that my employees are commuting? You know, and then we were talking about rail bed. Well, rail bed changes that a little bit because people can commute further in less time because rail generally goes faster than sitting in traffic. So you want to be able to...
I think one of the things that listeners can hear, if I can interject, is that in strategic planning of the future, bringing in the insight or the advisory viewpoint of a developer earlier in the process would make a huge difference. I mean, I can picture the strategic planning retreats that, like we do, and we bring in advisors like Peter to get people to ask what he's asking. But think about yourselves as a listener. I'm just kind of asking you to think about this. When was the last time you actually thought about a developer as an advisor or as a partner? If you, honest to gosh, isn't this the history of it, Peter, that sometimes the strategic plan's all, you know, absolutely bound and put on the, and they've got the financing and they've gone to the bank, and then they go, okay, now let's bring in the developer to talk about the building we've decided to do, and then it's wrong.
Yeah, the building doesn't work for them. It's not sustainable.
I was asking you, how do you get the developer in the room sooner? How do you have that partnership and that mentality more open earlier in the process? How do you do that?
Well, from my perspective, I need to be able to have a relationship with the senior management. It usually starts with the CEO or CFO.
Mm-hmm.
And from that standpoint is, you know, developing a relationship that they trust you and that they believe that you're not going to take advantage of them and that you're going to give them strategic advice.
Now, that's easier if they're sitting on the New Jersey Chamber Board and they've met you and they know you get it. And for the people who are listening, maybe that's one of the first pieces of advice for them is for them to have a more complete strategic planning for their company. They're being involved on those kind of boards for themselves to have the resources. They'd meet better CPAs. They'd meet, you know, better lawyers. They're going to meet better developers, frankly. Not everybody can do what you're talking about. I mean, some guys just build buildings.
Well,
it's a screening device to find the Peters of the world.
Well, I think it's also very important to look at, you know, from a developer's perspective, the leadership of the organization and how strategically that leader can in turn, you know, shape the values and standards of his own company.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, famous saying that if I live my life within my values, I will create the most happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So if my actions are in line. So consistently, you always want to behave in that way so that you develop that type of reputation, because the strongest, you know, sales technique you could use is having a strong referral.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a strong referral from someone you did business with and they trust you, then they're going to go out of their way because they want to share this. You know, everybody likes to tell somebody else what a wonderful building they have and how well thought out it was and so forth, because it's, quote-unquote, the bragging rights.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, you know, it's, and they'll introduce us to other, you know, corporate leaders. So we've always been in that situation. We've led our life through a lot of referrals, and it's helped us substantially.
Now, something tells me that your niche is not, for example, in the family businesses that have a very proprietary or a private approach where they're going to be absentee landlords over, you know, places in the slums. They're not going to exactly reach out to you and say, help us do the next one.
No, but I think we've done a lot of business with family businesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we're at a size where they first time that, you know, they started to do some more strategic planning, just like you had stated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we worked, you know, with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of our successes, I remember we did a project for a company that was started to grow rapidly. They'd been in very dilapidated kind of facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And we put them in a building. And then they later sold their business to 3M.
Mm-hmm.
And the CEO came to me and he says, you know, I want to tell you that if it wasn't for what you did for us and how we thought about our building,
mm-hmm.
because the building that we're in, when 3M looked at us, they said, this is unbelievable. And actually 3M looked at integrating another business with theirs, and that gave them the value proposition,
yeah.
meaning 3M, in order to pay more money for their business.
Yeah, I've seen a number of companies go on the cheap and they forget that, you know, their exit strategy included having a Fortune 500 company buying them. You know, hello, you got to position it for that.
You have to position it.
Now, let's shift a little bit to the green side of things. You know,
the green?
Green, G-R-E-E-N.
Green. Okay,
so, you know, the ecology, et cetera, there's a lot of language about that. Are you finding that your customers are coming to you saying that they want it to be more, you know, green and ecologically efficient, or are you still having to do education and saying this is in the future, this is a trend, let me show you how?
Well, there's so many of us that when you look at green, you know, there's a price to it.
Right.
But the other side of it is that there are many rewards to it. So let's look at the price as an investment. And I'm very active on a business board at Penn State, and when I was up there recently, I saw these big billboards, and I saw, you know, about green, hug a tree, and all that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people that are coming into our workforce are very ecologically oriented and are very concerned about the environment and how they leave it for future generations.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing more and more, like we just did a transaction in Washington. As part of the transaction, the client insisted that they have all the roof rights and the ability to create solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, you know, Virginia doesn't have as lucrative an incentive, you know, towards solar panels. And his position to me was, look, that is important to me, but it's not as important to me to make a statement to all of my employees that we're concerned about the environment,
yep,
and we're a concerning company, and this is a place where you should come to work.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing that type of thing, and I think you're going to see, you know, like our project that we're looking at, you know, that's urbanized in Harrison, we're looking at, you know, the parking garages that have solar panels. We're looking at zip cars, you know, that you can, you know, rent and go in and out. We're looking at these battery-operated bicycles so people can communicate, not communicate, but commute within the project.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing more and more of that. And I think anyone that's not thinking along the green lines, mm-hmm, may regret it a little bit later.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, when you buy a car, you can at least consider the hybrid. Hello, you know, think about it. Now, to combine this with, you know, it looks future-oriented, but think about where they are now. Somebody's trying to survive, and they're nervous, and they don't see the cash. But visionary-wise, they need to think green and urban. It's a traumatic change for a lot of companies. And so what I'd like you to think about, I only have like a minute before the break, but I want you to start the conversation about how does a company that's just scared and, you know, make that change in philosophy about what to do with their building so that it draws them into the future? How do you get them to wake up? They're frozen about money.
True, but respectfully, I think the first things to start to look at are things that are incentivized by utilities.
Okay.
Meaning that there are utilities that will incentivize for using the proper light bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is when you start to think about, you know, office space, think more about task lighting.
Mm-hmm.
Task lighting will permit you to use less, you know, ceiling lights. The next thing you may want to think about is just doing little things having to do with, if you're in a suburban location, you may want to create a situation where employees after work have a garden.
Mm-hmm.
Because if all of us grew our own food, we would consume 20%. You know, less energy.
We just did some
there's
focus
all kinds
group
of little things that you can do along the way that sends that right signal. That's
and we just did some focus groups for some clients that were just frozen about cash, and they just said they didn't see the return on investment, and it just felt expensive. And we did the focus groups with potential employees and potential customers, you know, and a range of people about, you know, how much difference it would make if their building had the following kind of attributes. They were stunned at the impact on, you know, recruitment, retention, and attraction of customers if they'd made that statement, because it makes them look like they're committed to the long haul and they're not short-term greedy. Those were the words that came out of the focus group is, yeah, all right, the difference is it's not so much you're a tree hugger. It shows, you know, that you're not a greedy short-term person that's only thinking of themselves. Wow. Well, I mean, talk about a differentiator.
Well,
we need to go to a break again, and then we got to come back. We're going to do a little more future focus with Peter Cozziello of the Advanced Realty Group. With the Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, we'll be right back.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ELDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you?
Mom?
If I'm at soccer practice,
what if something happens? Will you come get me?
Should I stay where I am and wait for you? Or go to Grandma's house since it's closer?
Shouldn't we pick a place for me?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
Mom, if you're not home,
should we go to the neighbor's house?
How do we keep in touch with each other if the phones don't work?
Should I be worried how we all get home?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Self-leadership is more important than corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in self-success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now. Brought to you by Waste Management. Every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, and we're doing a one in a five-part series on the changing impact of real estate in your strategic decisions. One of the things I can hear from our guest today, Peter Cocosiello of Advance Group, Realty Group, is it sounds like this is a really good time for the vision-driven strategic planning. Instead of the incremental change, this is the time to spend a little bit of money to improve your property. You know, bad economic times, recessions, whatever you want to call it, they're a really good chance to say, what are you really doing? Where are you headed? And backcast, okay, what are you trying to create? Because the decisions are so expensive. As I listen to you, Peter, I can feel the worry that someone has about going green, or feel the worry about not having cash. So if it's not a business model that makes sense and is creating a future, they get into so much trouble spending money on piecemeal that doesn't really add up to anything, you know? And so I hope people can hear that if you pause at this time and have your strategic planning actually be, what are you trying to create? And then involve folks that have the vision about the physical plant to make it affordable, make it, you know, actually real. Am I under something here, Peter?
I think so. I think the key to that is, as you're looking at things currently, is that many times entrepreneurs and companies have been so concerned about growth because, you know, they believe that market share is everything, and market share and growth will cure all the problems inside of the organization. And I think in these kinds of times, you really need to, I use the words, exploit the ordinary. And by that I mean you want to be able to exploit the things in your business model that are really profitable, and there's the first place you want to spend money as you go forward, because if you do that, you're in a position to become as sustainable as possible. And it also puts you in a position that if you're really good at what you do, you're not going to get as much cost cutting, you know, from clients that will, you know, put a lot of pressure on you to, you know, reduce the cost.
But if they grow incrementally and just with a little bit better of what they've done currently, they might not urbanize. They might not shift where they are. And maybe that's going to be the most powerful money-making, people-drawing recruitment technique that they could do, is to commit to getting their building next to a train station kind of thing. You follow? So, yeah, I mean, I like the idea of, stick with the knitting, do you know what you do, and do it well. But I really wonder if this is one of the times that figuring out how to have a more future-based model to where you are and how you do it makes some sense.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, and I think a couple of things is that, you know, being a little bit visionary, I mean, what I'm trying to do right now, I ask myself every day, have I made the proper decisions that when we come out of this economic recession, that this business is in a position to really take advantage of an upscale economy?
Yeah.
If it's not, then I haven't done my job.
I guess that's what I'm saying to the listeners, because if you're off in a suburb or if you're in these, you know, piecemeal kind of approaches to your asset management, it's going to bite you not just during the recession, but when there's good times.
Right.
If it's a bad model, it's a bad model.
Correct. And the other thing is that it's very easy to, I've always found it easier to run a growth business than run a business that's on the downscale, because you have to make some really hard decisions.
Yeah.
And, you know, in today's world, you know, the things you've been talking about, whether you take a position that, look, we're going to incorporate some things here that might be green. We're going to show our people that we are sustainable as a business,
yep.
And we're really concerned about the overall global environment.
Mm-hmm.
So there's little subtleties you can do with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing of it is that, you know, from my own perspective, I want to be in a location that I can attract the best and brightest people, which may allow me internally to do some top grading.
Yep.
And by that I mean that I really need to do some, you know, forced out,
yep.
Because some of the people that you may have taken on 3 or 4 years ago aren't sustainable. Because remember, I told you, I ask myself every day, did I do the right things, position myself? And sometimes that involves, you know, disrupting some people in your organization.
Well, it's one of the few favors of the recession. If you got to do layoffs, make sure you're keeping some of the A players that are going to make the future rather than inadvertently hanging on to somebody who's a wounded bird that you're just hanging on to for loyalty reasons.
Right.
I want to make sure some contact information comes across here. Folks that want to talk to you about how they're creating their future in the role of a developer and get the conversation started, where do they reach you?
My website is advancedrealtygroup.com, and my email is peterc@advancedrealtygroup.com. And from there, you'll get all of our information, projects, and things that we do.
That's really
cool.
Love
to hear from everyone.
And if people know my name, it's really easy to get me. It's aldona@ambler.com, A-L-D-O-N-N-A, @AMBLER.com. And the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-ALDONA. I own multiple businesses and ended up with all these different telephone numbers. So if you're dealing directly with me, that's the number you get. So I want to finish with this idea of the tagline for my consulting business for a long time has been achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability. I said earlier that the secret to this is really reversing the phrase. And ironically, it's been the real estate people that seem to be getting the idea that you really have to have a profitable business model that you can sustain. And it's intriguing to me in these programs that the real estate-oriented people have been the most focused on sustainability of anybody I'm interviewing in the last few months. And, you know, because you can start focusing on your growth strategies of, you know, mergers and acquisitions and ESOPs and all that, and then accelerate. But, gosh, if you don't have a sustainable model, it falls apart. Peter, just as your final kind of comment, how come you're so focused on sustainability? Why can you see that? How can you see that?
From an organizational sense?
Yeah, how can you see that so clearly?
Well, I see it clearly because one is that you do a lot of research, and that's, you know, my job. And the other thing is you talk to a whole lot of people. And like I mentioned earlier on in the show is that I always looked at traveling a lot. And
there's your advice, folks. To really see the key things in strategy, open your eyes to travel, do the research, make sure that you have a sustainable business so that you can see the big things. It's not going to just be Peter that needs to do that. Remember, this is a guy that wasn't over-leveraged when all of his competitors were. This is the Growth Strategist with Aldona Ambler. I'm wishing you accelerated growth with sustained profitability, as I do every week. Signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into the Growth Strategist.
Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.